imagining who Jesus is and all that it's going to be like when we stand with Him face to face. It's going to be wonderful to see Him and to know Him. Y'all forgive me for spreading out just a little bit more this morning. The Bible I usually use is a lot smaller than this one and a lot lighter. And so I'm not going to try to tote this one around while I preach, but I'm just going to spread out just a little bit more, so don't think this is going to be a little bit longer sermon. Grab a hold and hang on. We're going to have a good time, I think, this morning as we allow God to speak to our hearts. And please understand, I'm not going to get past point one. So if you can grasp that, and that should keep your minds on the Word of God and where they need to be. I was not even sure I was going to be here this morning. I called a couple of folks last night just to try to get them ready, and just in case that I couldn't be here. Yesterday afternoon, I got hit very hard with fever and chills and body aches, and I was afraid I had the flu. And I went on to the doctor last night. We found a clinic that was open, and they said, "Nope, you're not contagious. It's just sinuses," and they gave me some stuff, and so now you got to put up with me this morning. But 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're looking at, and we're going to be talking about using what God has given you. As we think about the church, and we begin to look at the church and who the church is, we begin to realize God has gifted each one of us and given us the different abilities, different talents, and different gifts to be able to use for His honor and glory. To be able to use to reach out and make a difference in our brothers and sisters in Christ as we encourage each other, as we share together with each other. And as we reach out to be a light to this community around us in the ways that He has called us to do so. And it takes all of us working together, using all that God has given us to make that happen. And that's what we want to be talking about over the next couple of weeks as we prepare to set up our ministry teams. And hopefully you are praying about where you're going to be serving and being willing to use what God has given you to serve Him well. It's a great thing to be able to serve God with the opportunities that He places before us. So let's jump on in. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. "And coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed." Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a second and ask you this question. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? He never gives us a reason to be disappointed, does He? He is loving, He is caring, He is always at work. Verse 7, "This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, a stone which the builder rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Folks, just reading those verses gives me chills. There's a lot of things said here. There's a lot of power in this word. There's a lot of teaching here that we can grasp a hold of. And we begin to learn some things as we study and read and get together with other people about the Word of God. The Bible gives expectations of Christians. Y'all realize that? You know, when we were growing up, Our parents had expectations for us, didn't they? They had things that they expected us to do. Maybe it was chores that they had given. They expected us to act a certain way. They expected us to speak a certain way. They expected us to be a part of the family and live like we were part of the family so that the world around us could see who our family was and what we stand for. And as we begin to look at the Word of God, we begin to realize we have a Heavenly Father, and He loves us. And because He loves us, He has expectations for us. He has expectations for His church, His people. And we need to grasp a hold of that and begin to strive to use all that He has given us to bring honor and glory to His name. Bringing honor and glory to Him. You know, so many times we get focused in on who we are. We get focused in on what we look like. We get focused in on the things of our lives, or maybe even the things of our church family. And we begin to get concerned about a lot of things. But folks, this is what I want us to understand. God is talking to you. We've got a church full of volunteers. I can't make you do anything. You have to make that choice yourself. Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to be used by God? Am I willing to be the man or woman that God has created me to be in the church that God has placed me in so that God can use me in ways that lift Him up and encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ and help each one around us? But please understand this. It doesn't matter if anybody else is being faithful or not. It should matter to you about whether you are being faithful. Am I serving God the way that I need to be serving God? Am I serving Him with love and forgiveness and passion and compassion? Am I serving God in a way that shows who He is in my life, that I can trust Him and that I love Him and that I will be faithfully serving even if nobody else is willing to serve. Now, I'm thankful that we're in a church where many people are willing to serve. But so many times we get focused on all that we're doing, all that we're trying to accomplish, that we lose track of this is for God. And we lose the joy in the service because we're too concerned about everybody else and what everybody else is doing or not doing. And so we need to grasp a hold of who God is and how He is working. So I want to ask you a question as we talk about God's expectations for our lives. How many times have you let God down? How many times have you let Him down? You know He expects this. You know He needs this. You know He needs this through His church. But we let Him down. We've got too much other stuff on our plate. We're too tired. The ball game's on. We've got something we would rather be doing. Folks, let me tell you, there is nothing greater than serving God where God wants you to serve Him when He wants you to be serving. There's joy in that. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. There's joy in serving the Lord. He tells us in this scripture this. We are living stones. Living stones. We're part of the body of Christ. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the one that we look to. He is the one that brings salvation in our lives. He is the one that has been to the cross. He is the one that has shed the blood. Jesus is the one that went to the grave and rose from the grave victorious and offers that to all who will come to Him and place their faith in Him. And when we place our faith in Him, we become living stones. We become builders of the kingdom. Builders of the church. Builders of who God is and how He wants us to be. We are part of the body of Christ. And we are building that body. And folks, we need to realize there is work to do. There's work to do. There's work to do in the body of Christ, and there's work to do in the community around this body of Christ. We have so much that we need to be doing to build the church the way God wants it to be. Now, here's one of the problems we seem to have. We get more caught up in the building being the church than the people being the church. We get more caught up in what everything looks like and how everything is and all these kind of things. Now, I understand this. God has given us some great facilities. But these facilities are not the church. They are a tool for the church to use. But that's all this is. The church is made up of people. You heard our group from Brazil share a couple of weeks ago. And one of my favorite things to hear them talking about, and it's a great thing to be able to go with people that have never been on a mission trip before, or on a foreign mission trip before, overseas, and see how God begins to work in their lives and the things that become important. These guys did not miss their TVs. They did not miss their telephones. They did not miss the internet. And when we went to a church that had three light bulbs and a frame, no walls, no organ, no piano, nothing to keep the mosquitoes out, and we worshiped. We worshiped the true and living God. All the distractions were out of the way. All the things that seem so important to us. Because guys, there's probably not a week that goes by that somebody here doesn't complain about the air. It's too hot or it's too cold. And I can look around this room and I can see somebody covered up with a coat and somebody else with a fan going. And what that tells me is we have become too interested and what I feel like, and what I want, and my comfort. I don't care about everybody else's comfort. I want myself to be comfortable. And we lose that. And going sometimes to a place where they don't have what we have as far as facilities. But their focus is Jesus. And people get saved. People hear the music down the street and they come flowing in. It's an amazing thing to see. And I think we miss that a lot of times because we've closed ourselves off. We are living stones. We are to be building the body of Christ, the church, the people. We have people all around this room right now that are hurting, have needs, are going through difficult times. And many times we don't see it because we're too focused on what's going on in my life, my time. And it becomes me, me, me instead of him, him, him. He's called us out to be living stones, living for Jesus. Living for Jesus with our whole heart. Everything that is within us, we're living for Jesus. He comes here and he says, we are holy priests. Holy priest. In the Old Testament, the priest was one who was at the church. He was to be holy. He was to have done the things that he needed to do. And we've all studied and read and know that there was corruption in the priesthood. But that doesn't change who God is and what his calling is in all this. And they were to come to the priest with their sacrifices and lay those sacrifices before God. And the priest would take them and sacrifice them to God. And that was his major role. He was offering something to God. I want you to look with me over in Romans chapter 12. verses 1 and 2 for just a minute. He says here, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We can trust God. He knows what He's doing. Do y'all believe that? And He has called us out to be holy priests. Now that word holy means pure. It means without sin. Now I'm not sitting here saying that we are without sin. But what we are to do is to come before God and accept the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. We talk to Him about forgiveness in our lives, forgiving us. And we lay the sin out before Him about where we have failed Him, where we have gone into our own direction, where we have done our own thing. And in that way, we can come before Him as holy priests, not in who we are, but because of who He is within us. He cleanses our lives. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. But the Bible also says we are made righteous through His blood. We can praise God for that. He has called us out to be a holy priest. Now, in that scripture that we just read, in verse 12, he says, "To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice." As the priest, you present yourself. You are the sacrifice that you're bringing to God. Not to lay on an altar and be killed, but to be living, because Jesus has already gone and laid down His life and shed the blood. And so we as priests can step up and live life the way God intends for us to live it. Not worried about everybody else, but living in the role that God has placed you in. Stepping up. Being bold. Being different from the world around us. Standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. And people notice. Nick is down in Pensacola. He's got a new job right now that goes along with his schooling. He's around a lot of people that are not Christians. And you know what? They're noticing there's a difference in who he is. They're noticing there's a difference in the way he talks. They're noticing that there's a difference in the way he goes about doing things. They're asking questions. They're looking at him wondering why he's different. Are they going to try to tempt him? Yes, they are. He needs our prayers. He needs our encouragement. This is one of our church members who's away from us for a period of months. He needs encouragement from his church family. He needs to know that we're praying for him. His mission field back during the summer was in Brazil. Now it's in Pensacola. He has an opportunity there. He is a holy priest. We are called to a holy priesthood to stand for him. He calls us here a chosen race. We are a chosen race. Folks, as we think about race many times, we start talking about different colors and skin and different nationalities and the different places people live and the different backgrounds that people have. But when Jesus talks about race, what he's talking about here is all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter about language difference. I am always amazed to go to Brazil. I am not good at learning languages. I've got a little app I put on my phone to try to help me learn the language, and I struggle with it. I asked Benjamin if he was using that. because he was working on things while he was there that first week. And he said, he is. He said, they got some games we can play. We can have contests with each other. And I said, no, thank you. I said, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling with this stuff. Folks, but God overcomes the language barriers. God overcomes the color barriers. God overcomes any barrier that we try to put up. Isn't that a great thing to grasp a hold of and realize? God loves every person. And as we begin to get a grasp, we are a chosen race, chosen by God. Jesus Christ gave His Son for you. Thank you. That should be one of the most exciting things I've said to you this morning. He gave His Son for you. And if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, that's on you. Because He loves you. He died for you. He's done His part. And all He asks from you is that you open up your heart and let Him come into your life. And He'll come in and forgive your past. Praise be to God. And get you pointed in the direction of His glorious future. Man, that's a great thing to grasp a hold of. God loves you. God loves me. He loves us despite who we used to be. He knows who we can be. He knows who you are. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And He has great plans for you. And He calls you a chosen race. He chose to die for you. Y'all remember when you were in school and you were getting chosen for a team? Did anybody ever get chosen last? Did anybody ever get not chosen? Good news. God's not saving you for last. And He's not leaving you out. He has made an offer to you. He chose to die on a cross for you so that you could have eternal life with Him. And He longs for you to turn your life over to Him if you have not today. He died for you just like He died for me. The cleansing of His blood for you is the same cleansing that He gave to me. And folks, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. There's nothing like knowing the cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to grasp a hold of. Holy nation, bonded by blood. We are for God's own possession. For God's own possession. I believe Paul put it this way. I am no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. What is the price that Paul was talking about? The blood of Jesus. The life of Jesus Christ. Paul began to understand, and we need to as well. I don't belong to me. I belong to Him. My life I gave to Him the day I accepted Him as my personal Lord and Savior. I belong to Jesus. And when we can begin to get that grasp in our mind, we begin to want to serve Him in the ways that bring honor and glory to His name. We begin to look at who He is and how He works. We are His possession. Folks, too many times we get to thinking, because the Bible says we have freedom in Christ, that we have freedom to live whatever way we want to live. And in a way, that's true. Because if we truly know Jesus Christ, and we truly know the price He has paid for us, we want to live for Him. We don't want to live in sin. My Bible tells me that we are aliens and strangers in this world. The world does not understand Jesus. They don't understand the church. Too many times today we see churches that are trying to look more like the world so the world will come into the church. But if we look like the world, we don't look anything like Jesus. We've missed it. We've missed it totally. We are God's possession. We are here to serve Him. We are here to look like Him. If Wilsonville Baptist Church doesn't have some type of resemblance to Jesus Christ, we're failing. Now, how do we look like Jesus? We take what He's given us and we use it to serve Him. We use it to bring honor to Him. We long to serve Him with all that is within us. All that I have belongs to God. There's nothing that I have, not my bank account, not my house, not my car. He's given those things to me to manage in a way that would be pleasing to Him. And I have to make choices with that. Am I going to give the way I'm supposed to give? Am I going to go the way I'm supposed to go? Am I going to have the attitudes that I'm supposed to have? Am I going to be forgiving of others the way God has been forgiving to me? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to be faithful? We are God's own possession. How faithful are you? How faithful are you? Can the people that you work around, go to school around, that you spend time with, can they see that there's something different about you? Can they see it in your voice? Can they see it in the way you dress? Can they see it in your actions and your attitude? If we're going to be the church that God would have us to be, we've got to dig into some of this in our lives and our hearts. And I know there's a lot of challenge here in what we've looked at, and we just kind of skimmed the surface a little bit. But the question is, am I willing to be the man or woman of God that God has called me out to be? Am I willing to serve Him with what He's given me to serve with, and serve Him well, and give Him the honor and glory for it? If you are here and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus wants to be in your life. He wants to be in your heart. He died for you. He loves you. He cares about you. Today, would you open your life up to Him? Would you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Place your faith in Him, believing that He's been to the cross, that He's been to the grave, that He's risen again, and that He's coming back for you, and allow Him to change your life, the direction you're going in, because He longs to do it, and He longs to do it right now this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of commitment. As we sing, I invite you to come. I invite you today to not worry about what anybody else is doing or thinking or saying. Just step out right where you are and come down. You may want to kneel here at the altar and pray, or sit here on the front pew. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, we'd like to take a few minutes and take God's Word and go through God's plan. What God has done, so that you can know. This comes from the Word of God. Are you willing? Will you come? Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for always being at work in our lives and not giving up on us when we let you down. Your forgiveness is real and powerful. And Father, we ask that right now, as we come to this time of commitment, that as you're speaking to hearts, that we would listen and that we would follow. Let your will be accomplished in our lives, Father. Convict our hearts and help us to know what to do. And give us the courage to do it. In your name, amen. As we stand and we sing this morning, you come.